Headlines, interviews and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, The Dirtbag talks about fruit trees and prepping for fall gardens. And remember that all these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click where it says donate. And KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland. Presenting Gary Trudeau, political cartoonist and creator of Doonesbury Comics, sharing from his latest book, Sad, Doonesbury in the Time of Trump, Tuesday, October 16th at 7:30. Tickets and more information available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org. And we're going to move on to Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, August 8th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary, Solidarity, and All Resistance All the Time. This, anybody who listened yesterday knows that we're talking labor all of this month, because there are currents right now that it's strangely overlooked, not talked about, because I think it's probably so alarming in many ways. This is one of those slow motion disasters like climate change that people won't refuse to recognize until the effects are impossibly and irrevocably upon all of us. Labor, there are some currents that are so bleak, I hate to tell you, but they're changeable. It's a lot more malleable than the climate change, which we've pushed right over the tipping point. We could do that with labor if we keep it up with vulgar clowns in office in this country and around the world. That said, I want to just move on to some questions that we want to look at over the coming weeks. First off, if we build robots, for example, to have characteristic human thought patterns, will they not develop greed in the same neural networked wandering that we people did? And what form will that greed take? It'll be the same but synthetic, just as some smells, tastes can be. Medicines, for that matter, can be synthetic, but based upon naturally occurring chemical substances. So, greed, synthetic greed, I would imagine that it would be a great deal more insidious and move much faster through society. So that said, and other questions, what will it, how will it express itself, then of course, what about war? Because greed is the generative force of many of our wars, that and religion, of course. Will robots become bored with their intended role as cannon fodder and put humans they put out of work originally to do the to work as cannon fodder? Let me say that again, because that's confusing. So if robots become bored with their intended roles, let's say warrior robots become bored as cannon fodder, and decide to put the humans they put out of work originally to work as cannon fodder, then how is there any way to back out of that hole? And what if you hop in that self-driving car of yours one day and its operating system is taken over by another self-aware driving algorithm? What if another car comes along and they get in a fight? That of course is a cartoonish vision of the self-driving car, but nonetheless, the car's algorithm could be taken over by any other, and if you they wanted it, the police wanted to pick you up, you could your car could be directed to take you to the police station. If you were a bad guy and you wanted to place a bomb in a vehicle, all you'd have to do is dial it in. So there is that. There are many other gadgets, and we are addicted to gadgets, and we never fail to accept anything that is new. It's good just because it's new. No one ever takes a long, hard look at it and says, now let's see, is this a good thing or not? Is this going to be good for us in the long run? Citing here, of course, CRISPR, the frightening new ability to change or eliminate creatures, plants and animals that we don't like, without ever asking ourselves what actually is that creature's role in the chain of life, and what will happen if we remove it using CRISPR. So these are things that we don't look at. We're very, very short-sighted. And what happens then when what we used to call an algorithm becomes fractal, and that's at the point at which it is able to replicate itself and in ways that indeed put us out of business. It's worse than labor organizers' worst nightmare, of course. And humans being obsolete now, really, just as a climate change is upon us now, right? It's no point saying, well, let's see, how do we stop it? We can't. It's upon us at this very moment. We've been trying this morning to speak with Greg Coleridge, the outreach director at Move to Amend. We want to talk about labor, working people, the labor movement, what it's all going to look like in coming years. And it's the picture that I've been able to put together based on quite a lot of reading and talking to people, both management and labor, in various industries recently. It's something. There are questions that are really important that those in power failed to address. Weakening labor weakens the nation as a whole, and people in power these days have seemed overlooked the fact that when we damage the labor movement, when we damage unions, we are weakening the nation, setting us back many, many decades, and creating conditions in which it is unlikely that labor, as we know it today, can be reconstructed, can survive, as one might say, the ocean becoming more and more acidic, as it's to a degree at which the creatures designed to live in oceanic conditions no longer can live. We're creating an environment in which it's almost impossible for a labor union to live. And we do it without looking at the future and looking at what that might do to society. And we're also waiting to talk to Greg Coller, who's the outreach director at Move to Amend. Meanwhile, the primaries, Leslie's primaries, indeed, what a showdown. This is the outcomes of the primaries have been interesting. I think that caution here that perhaps the Democrats are, let's not get carried away with delight here, because it's almost a given that we really are not in control of these matters, and that it's possible, much like the self-driving car, that other forces that we fail to take into account are directing the outcomes of these elections. So it's difficult to know how corrupted our whole voting system has become, just as is possible to know how corrupted labor really has become. But these are the questions we really have to ask. And it's extraordinary. Just listen sometimes to the rights, the rhetoric on from Fox and from many other outlets. Now, of course, you can't listen to Alex Jones, or you can really, actually. But taking him off of main social media platforms will not in any way stop him, but it makes a great headline, and it makes the administration and minions look as though they're being very fair and united. And hoaxes and conspiracy theories continue to boil. Not even under the surface. It's just that many people, we call whatever you like, Democrats, liberals, progressives, will constantly be at each other's throats, never be able to unite and work for one single identifiable candidate or cause. That's probably not going to happen, and that's a big failure right there. And we wonder whether that's built into the genetic code of the left. The right seems to be able to unite behind anything. A used condom found in the bushes along a jogging trail. Sure, whatever. If they're told to unite behind it, I think of all of the people that amongst Republicans, Donald Trump has an approval rating in the 90s. Think about that. He has an approval rating in the 90s. That tells you a lot about where America is. And Americans don't like to be preached at. We, the left, progressives, you use any name you want for the left. How about the left? That works. It's not taking this into account, not really seeing what the GOP is and what its long-term intentions are, is going to divide us even more. You have to look at it. You may not like it, but you have to look at it, see what they're doing, and see how they're doing it. Without that first important step, we're going to be facing long-term troubles that we cannot even begin to imagine. We still want to talk about labor, and I would still like for you to hear some of what these leaders have to say about the future of labor in America, about the future of unions, and what the roboticized workplace might look like. What happens when we don't have work anymore? What will that be like? And on that note, we got to leave you now. Mr. Coleridge, Outreach Director, hope to speak with you soon. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Tammy Dean engineered for us today. Thanks, Tammy. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feet to the Fire campaign and protest on Saturday, August 11th at 10 a.m. at the Multnomah County Courthouse in Portland. The monthly Feet to the Fire campaign is part of a national campaign started by Protect Our Stolen Treasures out of Detroit to hold district attorneys accountable for protecting us against police violence and hate crimes. This peaceful protest outside a county courthouse